everyone, welcome to another live episode of the
Geek.
Oh shit!
Buddies,
here.
Oh, okay.
Here we got a little. There we go.
There it is. Perfectly well said. Shannon couldn't have said it better himself. That's for sure.
Shannon, happy Thanksgiving. We're replacing you with a porg.
I think it's about height similar for sure. No, just joking. I am one of your hosts today, the Outlaw John Rocha, joined as always by my co-host over there.
I am Michael Vogel, a writer producer of animated TV shows and movies, and the Ed McMahon to the Outlaws, Johnny Carson.
No way. We are equals on this for sure. And of course, our other geek buddy, Shannon McClung, is not with us today, but we send our thoughts and best wishes to our brother as he goes through a personal thing right now, but he'll be back on the show soon. And today we thought, because we're on the precipice of Thanksgiving, we're about to celebrate Thanksgiving, and then Christmas is right around the corner. And for those of you, a little peek behind the curtain, that man over there in the red Christmas sweater is the guy who got me to fall back in love with Christmas as an older person who had kind of hated Christmas for a very long time in my 20s. I kind of, through him and through our friends, fell back in love with Christmas, and now it's definitely my favorite season of the year, and I can't wait to get it going. We're going to talk about our favorite geeky holiday movies, and then we're going to get into a spoiler review of the Lego Holiday Christmas Special. Lego Holiday Special. We're going to do and talk about that a little bit later on, so we'll let you know when that's happening. But Michael, overall, how are you feeling this Christmas season? I mean, 2020 has been a hell of a year. Like, where are you at with it all emotionally and mentally?
Well, first I want to say that all my Jewish ancestors are probably very proud that I got you back into Christmas. I do love Christmas. It is my favorite time of year. I actually love Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, like right. the triple holiday corridor, like the October to New Year's is my favorite time of year, because you've got Halloween and then Thanksgiving is probably like one of the best days. You spend it with loved ones, you do lots of awesome stuff, and then you just dive right into stressing about holiday shopping, Christmas presents, Christmas trees, and this year's weird. Like, I mean, I think like for everybody, everyone's kind of struggling with how do you celebrate the holidays when you can't necessarily be with your loved ones.
Yeah,
because of travel issues, because of safety reasons, because of health concerns, and then getting into Christmas. Like, what is Christmas going to look like? But I am here to say, just like I got the Outlaw back into Christmas, I think there is a lot of ways that we can celebrate togetherness, celebrate those that we love. And because we are the Geek Buddies, one of those ways is watching a shit ton of movies and holiday specials.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm actually super excited. We have so many new things this year. It's like all the streaming services just decided, hey, it's 2020. Everyone's shut up at home. Let's just give them a bunch of new holiday movies. There's Jingle Jangle on Netflix, the Dolly Parton Christmas special on Netflix. Like, there's a ton of things coming out. And then like there's all of our holiday classic favorites. So that's what I'm gonna be doing. I'm getting ready to go into crazy binge mode and start watching all of my faves as I stuff my face with all of the holiday sweets. Because you know what you can do during a global pandemic?
What's that?
You can eat a lot of food, you can drink,
true,
and you can watch a lot of movies.
So that is
what I will be doing.
Ditto, man, ditto. And you know, and this is, you know, Mikey, as you know, and some of our fans know, I've moved to San Diego into a house. So this is the first time I'm going to be celebrating Christmas in an actual house since I moved out of my parents' house so many years ago. So it's got a special kind of I don't know, meaning for me this year. We're going to go and pick out a Christmas tree in a few days. There's a number of lots literally minutes away from our house that we can pick up, and there's a place around here we already scouted some Christmas decorations and what have you, and so I can't wait to get that going and get that vibe and that feeling, because as I said earlier, 2020 has been a very rough year for a number of reasons, and getting to celebrate, remember our connection to each other and how important we are together rather than divided, is really an important thing to celebrate and explore. And of course that happens, they talk about that in the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, which we'll get to later.
Now, are you what are you cooking? What's the Thanksgiving menu for the the Outlaw Lady Outlaw household?
Here's the deal. It's the outlaw stays out of the kitchen because the lady is making what she needs to make. So I have been banished to my office, which is not a bad thing because I've got a PS5, but has been banished to the office while she cooks, and she's making two smaller turkeys. She is making stuffing from scratch. She is making pecan pie from scratch. She's making a number of things, rolls, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, and then she's making sweet potatoes for herself. So this will be a full-on day of cooking on her end while I kind of hide away and do my thing to her request, following her request. I mean, so
that's fair. For all the Thanksgiving the Thanksgivings that we've shared over the years, usually I just sent you to pick up the honey baked ham.
That's true. So I'm very limited in what I can do in the kitchen when it comes to these festivities. I like buying stuff, like bringing buckets of KFC to our friends' parties and bringing ham to the Thanksgiving party. It's easy to do, and I'm in and out of the situation. I appreciate that better for sure.
So as far as holiday movies go, Thanksgiving weekend is sort of like, that's where you kick things off. Now, I actually have Thanksgiving specific movies. Do you have Thanksgiving specific movies, or do you just go straight for the Christmas movies?
Usually it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That's my Thanksgiving specific movie always. There aren't that many more past that. I know Home for the Holidays is one that kind of, I think, plays around that time, but for me it's definitely Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for a number of reasons, and it keeps building up the situation with that. As I get older, I find more to take from that movie through the Del Griffith and Steve Martin experiences, for sure. What about you?
I don't think I can watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and not think of you and me on a road trip from hell. So I do enjoy that. Home for the Holidays is my favorite thing to watch at Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Home for the Holidays came out in 95. It stars Holly Hunter, Robert Downey Jr., Anne Bancroft, Brian Dennehy, Steve Guttenberg. Like, it's a crazy cast. But basically, Holly Hunter, Claire Danes is in it too. She plays Holly Hunter's daughter. But Holly Hunter kind of goes back home to her parents' house to spend Thanksgiving. And Robert Downey Jr. plays her gay brother. It's a great movie because it kind of illustrates the two extremes of Thanksgiving, which is a time to be with your family and the people you love, who also drive you completely crazy and you have strained relationships with. So it's kind of like, it's a great emotional journey. If you haven't seen Home for the Holidays, I know it's not necessarily the geekiest thing, but it's a really great one. And then also my other favorite in the past few years that I kind of put on sometime over Thanksgiving weekend is Addams Family Values, which counts as a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah.
Because Christina Ricci burns down the camp.
Well, that's what you get for sending an Addams Family child to a camp like that, for sure.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Addams Family Values, and Home for the Holidays are sort of my Thanksgiving weekend go-tos. And then I will have to admit, as problematic as this movie is, as the years go on, I will probably hit my first viewing of Love Actually this weekend.
Oh, nice!
The first of many for the next month and month or so.
I have to throw in Scent of a Woman because that's around Thanksgiving, I think, when it comes to take care of Pacino. I think that's around Thanksgiving. I've always felt it was around Thanksgiving. So I think it's during the break at college that everything that happens, or prep school, whatever's going on there, that it's during that break that he goes to take care of Pacino. And then, of course, everything leads back to the school after the break. So I do think of that movie more recently as something that I will pop on during Thanksgiving and watch and enjoy Chris O'Donnell and Pacino in that movie. Yeah, for sure. There are some other ones that Rotten Tomatoes lists. Let's see if there's any that would appeal. Yeah, Home for the the Blind Side, which I would never watch again. Addams Family Values makes the list.
Yep.
Pieces of April, which I've never seen. The Ice Storm.
Ooh, that's heavy.
Yeah, it is heavy. And that's heavy. Thanksgiving special, my man.
I mean, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is kind of like, look, I love me some peanuts, but that's definitely like you're getting into your third tier holiday with Snoopy and the gang. Like you go, it's great pumpkin first, then Christmas, and then Thanksgiving. It's cool, like whatever. It's gonna have a big Thanksgiving dinner, but those are my bigs. And then I mean, I could go on all day for holiday favorites, Some of my tops are Love Actually. Let's take a minute and just talk about Love Actually, because I do have to say, I love Love Actually. I saw this thing in theater. I think we all saw it in theaters together. It is a movie that just blew me away because I love rom-coms, and it's a love letter to rom-coms. That being said, as the years have gone on and I've watched the movie over and over, it is problematic as fuck.
Yeah, there are some issues. Yeah.
It's kind of sexist, kind of misogynistic. There's a lot of issues with it. This is a movie that I will freely every year watch and kind of cringe at some of the issues that I have as I've watched it throughout the years. But it does not take away from the fact that that movie makes me feel so much like Christmas, so happy. So I will always go to Love Actually despite its problems. It is always going to be. And when Emma Thompson breaks down at the end, listening to her Joni Mitchell, I will always shed 1,000 tears. So, well,
you know, Mike, we can go back and look through a number of films and have issues. And there's nothing wrong with pointing out the issues, but still liking the movie. Like, you don't have to, quote unquote, cancel the movie if you don't want to. Right? We all have movies. Everybody who's judging someone else for liking a certain movie, you could go through their collection and find some issues with their movies. That's just how it is. But something like Love Actually, it may be all the things you say, and it's certainly there's evidence to prove that. Certainly Andrew Lincoln trying to hit on his best friend's wife on Christmas is kind of crazy. Even though he's coming from a honestly in love with her place, it's still not a thing you do, especially the optics of a white guy trying to steal a black man's wife. Like, it just does not look good in 2020 overall. But there is such a sweetheart to this thing because the message is about bringing people together. I mean, that beginning where everyone's coming into the airport, and at the end when everyone is hugging as the Beach Boys song plays, it's very sweet. It's very beautiful. And it's about love. It's about love and finding love and going after love and taking the chance to fall in love and what have you. So I bet a new version of Love Actually would be a little more balanced, I imagine, but it's still got its heart in the right place, in my opinion.
Well, no, that was one of mine. I got a few, and I could go all day. But like, what do you got? What do you got?
Well, I mean, Die Hard's number one. I don't care what anyone says. I fall into the Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Absolutely, I go back to it all the time during Christmas. It's probably the only time I watch that movie nowadays is at Christmas because I've seen it so many times. I've memorized it from top to bottom. But I love it at Christmas. I think last year or 2 years ago, we were home for Christmas. My girlfriend was meeting my mom for the first time. We sat there in the hotel room and watched Die Hard. She had never seen it. We sat there and watched Die Hard the whole time. Yeah, so I was able to introduce her to it.
Hans, Bubby! Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. Die Hard is absolutely a great thing. And like, it's that great moment where you've sort of, you know, you've miracled on 34th Street, hung out with the Griswolds, like, you know, you've had your share of Christmas and you need a little bit of a break, but you want to stay in the zone. Die Hard is the way to go. Another in that vein, Gremlins.
Ah, yes, please take it away.
I love Gremlins, period. I love Gremlins. I love Gremlins 2. I love it all, but for very different reasons. But the first Gremlins movie is legitimately a Christmas movie. Yeah. I mean, it opens in a Christmas tree lot. The Gremlins kind of go crazy. There's snow. There's Christmas carols. Like, it's the whole nine yards. And definitely, like, after you've been Christmas movieing, particularly this year, when you are kind of stuck at home and you kind of get to that, it's nighttime, the kids have gone to sleep, what do you want to put on? Gremlins is delightful, it's fun, and it definitely still counts as being part of the Christmas spirit.
Absolutely. And seeing the Gremlins singing Christmas carols, seeing Gizmo with his Santa hat on, the whole nine, it's all there to enjoy and have fun with. Another one I will throw in the mix, another geeky one I have to say, is Batman Returns. I absolutely see that as a Christmas movie.
Yep.
It's the best one of the two Tim Burtons. In my opinion, it's the one that holds up the most, even though I do enjoy the Joker stuff in the first one. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Mike. What are you saying?
Well, in Batman, first of all, 100% Christmas movie. I love watching Batman Returns at Christmas time.
Right.
Batman Returns is funny to me because I think that everything about Michelle Pfeiffer, the Selina Kyle, Catwoman, Max Schreck storyline is the best part of the two Tim Burton movies.
Yawn.
Penguin, Danny DeVito.
Oh,
Hot wiring the Batmobile and sitting in his little McDonald's Batmobile cart while he sort of controls it kind of gets... you're sort of getting into almost like 1960s Batman levels of cheese, which sort of always kind of brings it down to me. But yeah, Batman Returns, another great one. Like when you're kind of getting tired of too much Christmas cheer and you need to cut it a little bit, go to Gotham City and, you know, a kiss can be deadly if you mean it.
Yeah, it features two of the best performances in a comic book superhero movie between Michael Keaton and Michelle Pfeiffer. Just the chemistry with them is explosive. There's a lot of rumors that Michelle Pfeiffer might be coming back to do Catwoman, an older version of Catwoman. Obviously, just like Keaton coming back to an older version of Batman. Wouldn't that be incredible to see those two on screen together again in those roles? They certainly make that movie. And yeah, I enjoyed Danny DeVito's Penguin for what it was. Yeah, a bit comical at times, but also a bit ruthless at times with some of the things he does. So overall, a fun movie to go and enjoy that's out of the norm for your normal Christmas movies.
If I was going to make a top 10 list of geek Christmas wishes, Michelle Pfeiffer returning to play Catwoman in the new DC universe post-Flashpoint or in Flashpoint is definitely top 10 geek Christmas wishes for
sure. Absolutely. All right, what's the next one for you?
Another weird one. I'm just going to go through those. Krampus.
Oh, the horror one. Okay.
Yeah.
Knock Krampus, yourself out, man. Okay.
Krampus is a delight. it's so weird. But yeah, it's kind of a funky, weird, you know, it is a horror movie. I mean, for those that don't know, Krampus is like, you know, sort of the evil Santa. He comes and, gets you if you've been bad and tortures you in his demon Christmas hell.
Yep.
But Krampus is a weird little movie because even though it's horror, it's scary, it's kind of super weird, quirky, funny, scary. It's like scary movies back in the 80s that were like right on that cusp of PG-13 and R. So as a kid, you were like kind of scared, but you could kind of be into it. Krampus kind of falls into that zone. But what's really great about Krampus is it still has a Christmas message to it, despite the fact that it is sort of this horror Christmas movie. It's not just going crazy off the deep end. Like it... When you watch it and it opens with a bunch of people running into a department store, like ripping each other apart, trying to get to the Christmas presents, like it definitely has something to say about Christmas. And it's a delight. There's one year, a few years back where I went over, I was in LA for Christmas, went over to a friend's for Christmas dinner. We had a beautiful Christmas dinner on Christmas Day and everybody had kind of cycled through all of the typical holiday movies. Right. And, I was kind of like, well, it's the end of Christmas. We could put Krampus on. And everybody thought I was dumb. But we poured some drinks and we put on Krampus. And it was the best way to wrap up Christmas that year. So definitely, if you haven't seen it, check out Krampus.
I have to throw another one in here. And it's The Grinch That Stole Christmas. That's kind of a geeky one. I still
Which
go back
one?
To it. Oh, the Jim Carrey one. I do enjoy the original. Obviously, Boris Karloff doing the voice, of course, that's a great special that still holds up. But I do enjoy the Jim Carrey one because I'm a Jim Carrey fan. So I enjoy him in this one. I enjoy the character he does. The fact that he had to put that costume on, I think it was 8 hours or 4 hours or whatever it was to put that on and then do scenes and then take it all off. I mean, you got to applaud the man's commitment to this movie. I think he's great as the Grinch. It's funny to enjoy. I like Cindy Lou Who. I enjoy Christine Baranski in this thing. Jeffrey Tambor, problematic, I know, but still, I enjoy him in the movie. And I think it does have a sweet message about how, you know, sometimes bitterness or anger from people comes from a place of not having been loved or cared for in life. And so they hate seeing the representation of love and unity and compassion because they've never experienced it. So I love that message at the end of the movie.
Two things on that one. One, the Celine Dion, Where Are You Christmas, is one of the best Christmas songs.
Isn't that Faith Hill?
Shit, that's what I meant. Faith Hill. Celine got me. I got plenty more Celine. But I
corrected Faith. A gay man. All right, cool. Go ahead.
I'm a Celine Dion. Faith Hill's Where Are You Christmas, one of my top favorite Christmas songs, even though apparently I don't know who sings it. The other one for our friends listening, every time we bring up How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the one thing I remember is when a bunch of us went to go see it in theaters when it came out, and our good friend Sarah...
Yeah.
Last name redacted because this is an embarrassing story. came out and we were all talking about what we liked about the movie, what we thought about the movie, and she goes, "I thought that animatronic dog looked super fake."
Oh my
God. And we all looked at her. We're like, what? And she goes, his dog. It looked super fake. And we were like, that was a real dog.
Real dog, yeah.
What? No. And that was the beginning of many things that Sarah... This is also the one who watched all of Phantom Menace and thought that it was about young Luke Skywalker. So she's not the most movie-aware person, but yeah. She's fun to see movies with.
Yes, she is. And we love her. Yeah.
I got two more. I got two more before we jump. I know we gotta talk about Life Day, which I have a lot of thoughts about too. But
yeah, sure.
One old, one new, because we've kind of ignored some of the classics.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
Obviously, Elf is a given. Christmas Vacation is a classic. You gotta watch it. Yeah. I will always, when you go old school, I will always go Miracle on 34th Street. Oh, it is one of my absolute favorite Christmas movies. The original, black and white, to this day, still holds up. Watch it every year. Makes me super, super happy. Yep. But on the complete opposite spectrum, a dark horse contender that has come up in the past few years, that has risen through the ranks and is now second only maybe to Love Actually and might actually surpass it.
Wow.
The Night Before.
Oh,
Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen, Anthony Mackie, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
One of my low-key favorite Christmas movies. Here's how I know a Christmas movie is one of my favorites, is that I actually sort of keep pushing it. Like, I won't watch it, and then I won't watch it, and I keep saving it. And that's one that I now have an entire, like, celebration around where, like, I mean, maybe perhaps not this year, but invite a bunch of people over, start the drinking, get rowdy, and as soon as the movie's over, you know, like, it's the three of them, they've celebrated Christmas Eve every year together, as long as they can remember this is the last one they're gonna celebrate. Very not Christmassy in the fact that they have all the drugs, all the drinking, all the partying. It is a night to remember or to completely black out and forget. But actually, similarly to Krampus, at the end of it, pulls through and is an incredibly sweet, incredibly beautiful Christmas movie about friendship and about growing up and how friendships change. So it is one that I really, really get super, super into.
Yeah, I thoroughly agree with you. I remember when we went to see this thing and just lost our mind at how good it was. I think it was a late night showing we went to.
Yep.
I think it was Shannon. And we just had a really great time watching this thing and having fun. And a lot of our friends have discovered it as well and made it a part of their Christmas rotation list. So I'm always – and it doesn't shy away from a couple of the really hard lessons about relationships within this movie about friendship. It is one of the most like realistic approaches to friendship and also to relationships that you can see – packaged into a Christmas movie. Plus, Michael Shannon steals the whole damn movie.
Holy shit. Like, Michael Shannon, who is like, you know, you watch him in all these other movies and you're like, you're fucked up, you're the serious actor, you're whatever. He maybe does steal this movie. And this is a movie that is hard to steal because everybody is bringing their A game with the funny. I mean, it is absolutely. So, so good. One more question for you, because I think there's one thing we forgot before we jump. What is your favorite version of A Christmas Carol? Because of all the Christmas stories, like Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, there's been so many versions throughout the year. What is your go-to version, best version of A Christmas Carol?
That's a great question, because, you know, Alastair Sim in the original 1930s one is very unsettling and effective. I still go back and watch that. Certainly the, was it George C. Scott, the musical Scrooged? I know Matt Nost on the top 10, that's one of his favorite versions. I even enjoyed the American Christmas Carol, the TV movie that Henry Winkler did back in the 80s, and I still watch that one. But my number one is always going to be Scrooged. There's just something about that story, the way it's told through Bill Murray being Ebenezer Scrooge, the modernity of and the lessons that they're talking about here that still apply. This idea of TV corrupting the minds, this idea of the media influencing, this idea of choosing material possessions over relationships, over friendships, over things that really matter, which are the connections with human beings. That these lessons still endure, and it's maybe one of the greatest honest moments of acting that you'll ever see in any Christmas movie when Bill Murray does that ending monologue, and especially when Tiny Tim speaks to him, just that moment, the tears in his eyes, like just incredible stuff. I tear up every single time. That's my favorite version.
Scrooged is great. There's so many good versions.
There are.
I will, you know, honorable mention to Mickey's Christmas Carol, which is what introduced me to Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. That was the first version I ever saw. Always love it. Can't go wrong with Uncle Scrooge. But the best version of Christmas Carol that I watch every year, Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And here is why. obviously I love the Muppets, but they do a thing that most versions of Christmas Carol don't do. Most versions of Christmas Carol obviously adapt Charles Dickens' story into a script with dialogue. But what they made the decision to do in Muppet Christmas Carol, which makes it super great, is because Gonzo and Rizzo are playing the narrators. Right. Gonzo is literally playing Charles Dickens. They actually take so many of the great lines of the great writing of Charles Dickens and put it into the movie, because he's actually narrating with the actual words of Dickens. And despite the fact that it's Muppets, despite the fact that there's like singing rats and chickens and all of the things, it's actually a pretty faithful version. Michael Caine does what you have to do when you are in a Muppet movie, which is he plays it 1,000% straight. Like, yeah. Michael Caine is playing his best Ebenezer Scrooge that he would be playing on stage. He just happens to be surrounded by frogs, pigs, bears, and whatevers. So it's a great one. It's really fun. Yeah. And so that is usually my go-to. Also, you know, you should also check out the Heartswarming Eve Christmas special from My Little Pony Season 6 that was written by some crazy Jewish guy who loves... Who loves Christmas a lot. Or, you know, on Netflix, you could check out My Little Pony's Best Gift Ever, because that's also a great Christmas story written by some crazy Jew who loves Christmas. Wow. Just in case you were curious of something new to do for Christmas this season.
Plugging your own stuff. That's that says Christmas all over the place. And I just
want to... Ho, ho, ho! Ho, ho, ho!
I just want to clarify. I got my Scrooges mixed up. It is Albert Finney who's in the musical Scrooge. It is George C. Scott who's in the TV movie A Christmas Carol. Both effective, though. Absolutely enjoy them. But I do want to throw one last one before we move on to Life Day. And it's the most recent one that got nominated for Best Animated Film last year, and that's Klaus. If you haven't watched Klaus and make this part of your rotation, you need to. Look, I like Arthur Christmas. I like a lot of these animated Christmas movies. I enjoy them. But Klaus is a level above. There's something about the style of the animation, the dialogue, the performances from Jason Schwartzman and J.K. Simmons and all the other cast members that just really kind of lays it down. And it's a kind of a European take on Klaus, which is something you don't usually see here in the States. And it was great to experience it through that prism as well. So can't recommend it enough. I think it's still on Netflix for y'all to enjoy.
I think it is. Arthur Christmas is another great one you should check out. It's a beautiful movie. But I will agree that Klaus, I have a couple story issues with it. Like in the beginning, I wasn't sure if I was going to like it or not, but it definitely by the end completely won me over. And you're 100% right. From an animation standpoint, the style is so ridiculously gorgeous. And it's a really, really sweet story. So 100%. Absolutely. So as you can see, starting with your Thanksgiving movies, rolling into the holidays, before we even get into all of the new stuff, you know, even that Happiest Season on Hulu, the lesbian kind of Christmas movie, like all of the new stuff that's coming out, you've got a lot of stuff. And if you haven't seen any of the things that we named, put them at the top of your list, and then you can let us know what you think about them below.
Absolutely. And just to let you all know, I've decided to do one. I'm challenging myself on the Outlaw Nation. I'm going to do one review of a Christmas movie every day. So 25 days of Christmas, I'm going to do leading into Christmas Day. So it's a daunting task. They're not going to be long reviews, maybe 10 to 15 minutes, but I wanted to do something to kind of celebrate the season here on the channel. So look for that as well. All right, let's get into it, Mike. For this point forward, this is a spoiler-filled review. Mike Vogel and I, we are going to review the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special that dropped on Disney Plus just a few days ago. We had a chance to watch it. I've watched it 4 times now. I really, really love it. It's such a great, brisk 45 minutes of a holiday special with a lot of information thrown in, and revisiting a number of the movies and The Mandalorian and The Clone Wars to have some fun here. Mike, this basically deals with Rey trying to figure out how to become a great Jedi master. She goes through the Jedi texts. She wants to train Finn. She feels like she's not doing well, so she goes through the Jedi texts, goes to a temple on Korduku, finds the key, and the key leads her into all these different places as she tries to discover how to become a great Jedi master. Meanwhile, Poe Dameron and the crew, Rose Tico and the crew, are trying to put together a great Life Day celebration on Kashyyyk. Overall, Mike, what are your thoughts on this Lego Star Wars Holiday Special?
It's adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that, like, my overall thought is it's adorable. You know, like, Life Day is such a funny thing because the original Star Wars holiday special is, it's done a holy shit, what is this?
Yeah.
We hate this. This is the worst thing that ever happened to Star Wars. It's so bad that we love it. Right. Have you ever watched it? I know a lot of people. Have you ever made it all the way through the holiday special?
Bro, like, I watched it when it actually came out. What are you talking about? I watched it when it, I'm old enough to remember it coming out
it's
on television.
And about the time, that Chewie's grandpa starts watching the weird dance number of the woman, and I start to get a little uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, I sort of like zone out at that point. Like, I mean, I love Star Wars. The holiday special is truly, truly horrible. Like,
I think it's a rite of passage. I think you have to become a full Star Wars fan. You have to find the Star Wars.
100%.
The original.
And look, it's the first appearance of Boba Fett. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. But, I mean, you can't go wrong with B. Arthur no matter what. But it's bad. And I do think what's beautiful about this special, the Lego special, is they've kind of, Star Wars at this point, I think fans and Lucasfilm and Disney and everybody are just embracing it. Like, Life Day is our holiday. We have this thing. And so before you even get into what this is, I think it's just it's a beautiful thing that, like, this horrible, horrible part of Star Wars entertainment history has now become something that we're all like, fuck it, we're in. We love it. Life Day for everybody. So then what I do think is interesting, you know, when we did our Mandalorian review last week about the Siege.
Not the
in our comments. The Siege. make sure we get it right. You just had Ocean's 11 on the brain for some reason. When we did our review on The Siege, you know, you and I kind of made a couple comments where we kind of said most Star Wars fans don't like midichlorians, or most fans don't like that. We made a couple comments and, like, definitely got schooled in our comments a little bit below about the fact that at this point in Star Wars, it's a multi-generational brand. So many people have come onto it in different ways. And you can't say that most people don't like the prequels anymore. You can't say most people don't like midichlorians, because there's an entire group of Star Wars fans that grew up on the prequels, think the original trilogy is kind of boring, and think midichlorians make 1,000% perfect sense. So what I like about this Life Day special, what I liked about the holiday special, is if you're a prequel person, if you're a prequel fan, if you're an original trilogy fan, if you're a new trilogy fan, everything is there for you. There are in jokes for you. There's a reverence to all of these characters. These all exist in the same universe. They're all equally important, but we can also kind of joke, tease, and laugh at these characters in the same way. And it kind of just left me feeling really, really kind of sweet and happy about Star Wars all around. And when this is a brand and a universe that we all sort of can get very cantankerous and argue about. You like this, I like this, this one's bad, this is ruining the brand, this is good for the brand. It was really nice to watch something that just sort of embraced the entirety of Star Wars and just had fun with it.
I agree with you. And you know, but Lego has done such a great job over the years. And certainly I've pushed that C-3PO series that they did, where you were seeing the events of Star Wars through the eyes of C-3PO, these half an hour episodes that Lego did. They were great. And why? Because they walked that line between making fun of the thing that they're talking about, but never doing it in a disrespectful way. And throughout the special, you have that. I mean, Vader calling out Kylo for his derivative helmet, the idea that Palpatine could never come back, and there's no coming back from that. all these jokes, in jokes that if you're a Star Wars fan, you can enjoy. The fact that they take little to no time on Exegol, that tells you everything you need to know about that. But, you know, there's great humor throughout, and you're seeing multiple generations of these versions of characters of Obi-Wan and Luke and Vader all kind of meeting each other or hanging out with each other, even for a few seconds. It's great. And it shows a love for the franchise and the love for the property that you want to have all through this journey of finding out that it's about friendship. It's about compassion. It's about connection with each other. And together we can accomplish so much, which of course is the lesson throughout that Yoda is trying to teach Rey. And I think the voiceover work, Mike, is exceptional in this. We do get, you know, Kelly Marie Tran coming back as Rose Tico, Billy Dee Williams, Anthony Daniels, all those standards. We have so many other actors who come in to voice these famous characters throughout that I thought did a fantastic job.
Absolutely. I think everybody did. Everybody was having fun with it. And you know, and kind of to your point, like the overall story was really sweet. I am someone who doesn't necessarily think that the new trilogy stuck the landing.
Yeah.
Let's just say. But what I did find myself enjoying was the overall setup of the story, which is Rey is now sort of training Finn because he was force sensitive by the end. Mm-hmm. The way we ended up getting him there in Rise of Skywalker, not my favorite, but what I found watching this special was I'm on board.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. In the future of this new trilogy, Rey is trying to teach Finn. They both have the Force. Yeah. She's a little bit lost. And kind of, I really thought the overall idea to frame up this special to kind of show her all of the masters mm-hmm. and their students throughout history, to kind of go Luke, Yoda, Anakin, Obi-Wan, Vader, Palpatine, and just kind of go down the line and see mm-hmm. all those. I thought that was a really sweet way. It's a really smart way to kind of show us all the highlights from all the different versions.
Yeah,
but it was also a really sweet way to kind of tie the history and the breadth of Star Wars all together, mm-hmm. which kind of just makes you go, all right, cool. Like you, whoever your favorite duo is, you got to see them and have fun with them. And it was nice.
Yeah. Also low-key, Mike, these masters, which I think Yoda says at the end, kind of reiterating the thing he said in Return of the Jedi, or sorry, in the Last Jedi, which I really enjoyed, is this idea of failure. You know, failure teaches us to be better teachers. Failure teaches us to be better students. Look, all of us, all of you watching, all of you listening, me and Mike, we have experienced failures. We've tried. We've attempted things. We've tried to do. I mean, all right, come on.
Okay, maybe once or twice.
Yeah, right. Those are those things, but they teach us so much more than some of the successes do in our life. Some successes do teach you things, but some of these failures, I teach you more if you're attuned to listening to the reasons. If you get past feeling down about yourself, you can take the lesson and apply that later. And throughout, as I'm watching this, it struck me how many of these masters either didn't 100% get to finish their training, or I guess didn't get to finish their training throughout, right? Obi-Wan is struck down by Vader. Qui-Gon Jinn is struck down early trying to train Obi-Wan. All this stuff that happens throughout, you see Yoda, you know, he says, like, Luke took off before I could finish my training with him. So it's not that none of these actually finish the training to get to it. So it was about teaching Rey this idea of don't be so nostalgic about the past because they fail too. Don't put people on a pedestal. We all fail. We're all human, or species. You say we're all capable of failure and success. It's all within you. And that's also one of the lessons Yoda teaches Rey as well. The power always lies within you to do whatever you can do to succeed in life. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, as we were talking about Christmas movies earlier in general, some of the best Christmas movies can be, you can have a movie like A Krampus, which is a horror movie. You can have a movie like The Night Before, which is drugs and partying and all out comedy. But what makes them Christmas movies, what makes them Christmassy is that there's this really sweet center to all of it. And I think what the Lego Holiday Special did is it made Life Day, I think, is now a time. How to say this? I think Life Day is going to turn into a time of year when all Star Wars fans can come together and we can take the piss out of each other a little bit. Like, we can fight and argue the rest of the year. You can yell about midichlorians. Me and Roka and Shannon can get in a fight about Last Jedi because I love it and they don't. Like, we can all go crazy and get super passionate about what made sense, what didn't, and what Star Wars is doing right and what Star Wars is doing wrong. But on Life Day, we kind of put all that aside and we say, hey, we love Star Wars and it's all great. And if we're being really honest, it's all a little silly too. Like that, and that to me is what the holiday special did is you're 100% right. It had this really beautiful message about being a master, having all this pressure on you and realizing that like all the masters have failed. So you're going to fail too, and that's okay. And you're going to learn as much from your student as your student learns from you. But at the same time, we get it's a trap joke. We get three Obi-Wans from three different eras saying hello there. Get two Han Solos wanting to shoot Greedo. I mean, like, we get blue milk. We get pod racers. We get clone troopers. Like, we get Ewoks. Like, we get Porgs. Like, it's all there.
Darth Maul.
We get legless Darth Maul kind of crawling along. So it's like, it really did manage to kind of like cover all his bases in a way that, like, no matter what your version of Star Wars is, it's good. And to me, that's really what the holidays are all about. You know, the holidays are a time where the whole family gets together, whether that is your actual family, your found family,
right,
whatever it is, you're the group of people that that make your life work on a day-to-day basis. You get together and you love each other, but also you drive each other crazy and you know where all the bodies are buried. So yeah, you know all the shit too. And I think Life Day pretty much to me sums that up in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. And the thing also, what it definitely does, and you got to give, I want to give a quick credit to the writer of this, David Chane, who has done Lego Star Wars, The Freemaker Adventures, did Lego Star Wars All-Stars. So clearly knows this property very well and understands and respects this property and knows how to find the humor within it. I got to give some love to some of the humor in here. I mean, this idea where the Emperor looks at Kylo and says, you think you could maybe put a shirt on before you tell it? This story of his, the pieces of the Death Star falling off every time we go back to the Death Star, having them argue about the title for Starkiller Base, the name for Starkiller Base, the Vader Kylo kind of trying to impress the overall dad thing. I mean, it's just all here kind of deftly working under the surface to be reminiscent of people's families all around.
Yeah.
You know, I love that.
You know what I did miss a little bit? And I think that, I mean, I think she was there in the big group at the end, and she was there as a ghost at the end with Luke, but they definitely steered clear of Leia.
Yeah, that's a great
point. I don't know if that was because we're still, like, not quite sure how to deal with the loss of Carrie Fisher. Like, we don't really want to make fun of Leia too much because Carrie Fisher kind of was our princess. She was our general. So I'm not quite sure what that was about. Like, I missed Leia. Wanted to see her a little bit more in some way, in some of the flashbacks or whatever. But I think that we're just, you know, I think maybe, even though it's been a minute since Carrie Fisher passed, I think from a Star Wars universe standpoint, we're all still just a little bit tender on that front.
Yeah.
So they tread carefully there, whereas with everybody else kind of got their licks in.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this, you know, as much as the new trilogy will forever irk me in the way that it didn't quite connect at the end, like I said, they didn't stick the landing. Watching this made me realize that despite my story issues, despite my issues with everything, like, I generally really like Rey, Finn, Poe, Rose,
absolutely,
BB-8. Like, I actually just, as characters that exist in a universe, I enjoy them. And if somebody else can pick that ball up and run with it and tell me a strong story with those characters, like, I'm not mad at it. Like, like I said, like, I think Life Day is a time where you, like, look at the galaxy far, far away through sort of rose-colored glasses and you go, all right, I'm good. I'm good, guys. I'm good.
I mean, and Life Day miracles can happen as the Emperor discovers that maybe he shouldn't have been a bad guy after all just before he passes away, or quote-unquote passes away, in the reactor shaft, which I think is hilarious. What is, oh, Sheevy Palpatine gonna change his ways?
He got his little Christmas Carol. He had his Ebenezer Scrooge moment of clarity. Just, you know, just a little bit too late there. Just a little bit too late. Somebody asked me. They texted me. This was very funny. A friend of mine from Colorado. He goes, "Hey, about to watch the Life Day special on Disney Plus. Question." Yeah. Is it canon?
Yeah, great question.
And I kind of sat there, thought about it. Hold on, I lost the headset. I had to think about it, and I was like, well, yes.
I mean, I don't know, right? Because if it is canon, then that means Rey showed up in Luke's X-Wing as he was shooting the final shots to destroy the Death Star.
Well, In classic time travel, I think we can kind of squint and go ahead and give it the Avengers Endgame sort of, or Infinity War kind of, like, I feel like you didn't really fuck with the time. And I do think I kind of went back and rewatched it with that in mind a little bit, is like, it's Lego Star Wars. It's ridiculous to even talk about canon or not canon. But I think, like, for me, They were very careful. Like, nothing that Rey did actually changed history.
Right, right.
Like,
nothing was changed.
Like, Luke did blow up the Death Star.
Right.
Even though Kylo, Rey, and young Luke were running around the Death Star with the Emperor and Jedi Luke and Vader, at the end of the day,
yeah,
Emperor went down the... Yeah. Went yeah. down, like, so... I think that it's one of those, like, if you really love the Lego Holiday Special and it's cute to you and you enjoy it, like, you can squint and be like, sure, this is canon. And I think the more important part is just the general idea that post Rise of Skywalker, this gang is still together. Yep. We're going to see what happens with the galaxy. And that I think the main takeaway from a canon standpoint, which after my friend watched it and we were talking about it, I said, I think the main thing you can take away from this that we will probably see in future... pieces of Star Wars entertainment, whether that probably not features or animation necessarily, but in publishing, in the comics, in novels, is this idea that Rey is kind of trying to train Finn, which I'm okay with. Like, I think if that's the piece of canon that we take away from Life Day, like, I'm kind of generally okay with that.
Yep. And what you can say is, look, I know we've seen these interviews with Oscar Isaac, with John Boyega, and with Daisy Ridley, all three of them saying they don't want to come back. They had their time. They did their thing, blah, blah, blah. But listen, yeah, they're young. 10 years from now, 15, 20 years from now, you soften all those things that were bad experiences. If a really good a script drops in their lap that brings Rey back or Finn back or Poe back, it's not out of the realm of possibility, certainly. Han Solo wanted to walk away from this. Mark Hamill even wanted to walk away from it after a while because he was typecast, which is totally understandable. And so I wouldn't be surprised if 10 years, 20 years from now, they come back to reprise their roles in a brand new trilogy.
I want to see the trailer 30 years from now where it's like, it's the Millennium Falcon, but Poe and Finn come in instead of Han and Chewie, and Poe's like, Finn, we're back.
We're home.
We're home.
And I'll look over with my crusty finger and I'll be like, I told you.
Yeah, you be at Shannon at the 3 p.m. screening because we go to bed at 6. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, here we go. Star Wars forever. Happy Life Day.
We got to do an episode on this. Let it go. We got to do an episode. I do want to say one last thing. Shout out to the director, Ken Cunningham, for doing a really great job with this. And also, Helen Sadler just really captures Rey's voice so well. And Omar Benson Miller, who some of you may know from a number of projects, he was great as the voice of Finn. Matt Sloan as Darth Vader. Matt Lanter as Anakin was really great. And James Arnold Taylor reprising Obi-Wan. So great to hear his voice again. Of course, Dee Bradley doing the Clone Trooper's voice as well. So just trying to give some love here to the voiceover actors who were involved in all of this, who were really killing it and having a great time doing so. So much love to them as well. Oh, there you go. And the porgs.
And the porgs. Don't leave that porgs out. They're the best.
They were great. They were certainly intimidating Finn to try to learn. Thank you all so much for watching this episode of the Geek Buddies and this review, spoiler review, of the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. We hope you all have a pleasant Thanksgiving and a safe Thanksgiving, and certainly prepare for Christmas coming around the corner. Mike, what do we have to tell them?
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode / this review and you want to hang out, here's some things you can do. Definitely hit like button below, subscribe to the Outlaws page, because not only does he have this amazing episode of Geek Buddies, there's plenty more to look at. There's a ton of other things, great other hosts. So check out the Outlaws page for all of your entertainment and other affiliated pieces of news. Leave some comments below. We love checking out the comments, especially with the Star Wars stuff. Star Wars fans are very heated and opinionated, so we want to know what you thought of the Life Day special below. We will definitely weigh in and let you know if we agree or disagree. And then the best thing you can do, if you're listening to this review on Anchor or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, rate us there. Like, give us some stars, leave a comment. It helps us go up into the rankings so that more people can find us. And then the best thing that you can do is share this review, share this episode, post it on Twitter, post it on Facebook, send it to your friends. We've had a lot of people come in recently through the Mandalorian reviews, through the episodes, saying that they've just recently found Geek Buddies during this year as they've been looking for entertainment in the pandemic, and they've really enjoyed it and they've stuck around. So we're looking for more people to come in, hang out and stick around. So do all that for us. But most importantly, Have an amazing Life Day. Have an amazing Thanksgiving. And you will be with us all month long. I am sure we're going to have lots more Christmas and holiday-themed conversations on Geek Buddies. So definitely stay tuned for that.
There you go. And you can follow Mike at MKToon on all the social medias. You can follow Shannon at Shannon the Geek Buddy, then Shannon underscore McClung. And you can follow me at The Roka Says. And if you want to follow our social media, and we're very active on social media, the Geek Buddies are, you can do it on it's on Instagram. It's the underscore geek underscore buddies. And on Twitter, it is geek underscore buddies. Follow us there and let us know what you thought about everything we're doing. And as Michael said, share it and give it a like and a comment. All right. Thanks to everyone who watched. And we'll talk to you next time on a on another brand new episode of The
Geek
Buddies. Hey!